Well, do you know how merciful we were this morning? There are two versions that can be proclaimed of the gospel on Palm Sunday. This was the 3-page abridged version. There is an 8-page unabridged version. You would have been standing a whole lot longer. One of the things that happens is whether you do the short or the long one, there's so much to that passion narrative that it can kind of overshadow and obscure the fact that there are 3 other scripture passages that preceded it. And they are the same literally every single year. There's always that passage from Isaiah, there's always Psalm 22, and there's always this passage from the letter of St. Paul to the church in Philippi. Let's focus on that one. Why? It has something to say that helps to make sense out of that long, very powerful passion narrative. It's basically a very early Christian hymn that Paul includes in this letter that is giving some of the basic, already early understandings of the church of who Jesus is, what he did, and why he did it. It starts off with Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. To say he was in the form of God is saying what about Jesus? You know, think of John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What are they both saying about Jesus? He's not just a man. He is eternal, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God. But then it references the incarnation. He did not deem equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Who's the slave? Hello? It's referring to us. What's the significance of it? Why does Jesus wed his immortal nature to our human nature? What's the point of that? Here you have to go take a deep dive again into the book of Genesis. 3 primary early characters in there. One whose name is Satan. Satan was the highest and most powerful of all the angels. But all of them had a task for which God had created them, and that was basically to serve the human race. Some directly in service to God, but the others meant to help us humans in our journey from being here on earth to into the fullness of God's kingdom in heaven. But Satan couldn't stand that. Satan was very full of himself. In other words, he had a whole lot of what? Pride. And his response to finding out what his work was supposed to be, he basically just said to God, "I will not serve." And because humanity had been created in God's image and likeness, his envy and his hatred of humanity was beyond measure. And so he sets out to try and entrap Adam and Eve into committing an act of pride-filled rebellion against God. By doing what? I've been through this part a whole bunch of times, but literally, what does Satan do when he approaches Eve? He's basically telling her, hey, God's been holding out on you. He's been denying you stuff. Go take it for yourself. The reason why he doesn't want you to eat the fruit of that tree is you'll be like him and you won't need him. And they fall for it. As Satan was full of himself, full of pride, full of envy, full of hatred, so now Adam and Eve, they have made themselves full of themselves. And that's what's been afflicting humanity since the beginning. Every single sin that humanity commits, and I mean literally every single one, sins of omission, sins of commission, the root to every single one is this: pride. And pitting ourselves against God, being full of ourselves, thinking that we know enough, are wise enough, and powerful enough to do whatever we determine we have a right to do, want to do, should be able to do. We just decide for ourselves. How well has that worked out? I mean, if you look at the violence that humanity has caused against itself since the beginning, it's not working out so well. Because we're too proud to admit what? We don't want to admit that we don't know as much as we think we do. We don't want to admit that we're not as wise as we would like to think we are, that we are not as powerful as we think we are. I mean, literally, how much power do we, you and I, really have? Could you extend your life on your own by even 1 millisecond without the power and the grace of God standing behind you? Do you really truly have any idea of what to do? Of understanding of what is right and wrong and why things are right and wrong? And yet, that's where we are. We are full of ourselves. And the harm that we do because of it is immense. And here's the antidote. What Paul is trying to communicate to us by including this hymn about Christ in his letter to the church in Philippi. Rather than deem himself equal, he does what? He humbles himself. He takes on our full human nature, weds it to his own, and shows us the way to go. Did you hear the opening prayer? What did that opening prayer say? This is the very reason why Jesus does this, is to give us an example to follow. We cannot save ourselves. We don't know what we're doing. I have to drag this one out of you a little bit, am I? Who really can help us? We can't. We don't know enough, we're not wise enough, and we have no power. Who does? God. What Jesus does is show us how we can best live our lives by emptying ourselves of our own egos. Pride, and surrendering ourselves to the will of God, which is exactly what Jesus is doing. And I mean, he does it all the way. If you can imagine, this all-powerful, omniscient, and eternal God did what? Spent 9 months in the womb of a human female? Was an infant, a toddler, a child, a teenager, and put himself under the authority of two humans? Who, when the time reached its fullness, submits himself to the betrayal of Judas, the machinations of the Sanhedrin, of Pilate, of Herod, of those who are spitting on him, whacking him in the head, scourging him, nailing him to a cross, and lifting it up, and leaving there hanging fully exposed to die, all at the hands of his own creatures, us. You know, that Roman form of execution was reserved solely for people considered to be slaves. Unless you were a Roman citizen, you were a slave. And so the fullest, most pain-inflicting and humiliating death Rome could possibly contrive would be inflicted on you and done in full view of everybody. You know, literally, the place of crucifixion, Golgotha, is on the road that goes up to Jerusalem, so that anybody going up and down from the city, there you are. And when they say stripped, they meant stripped, fully naked, vulnerable, which is just where Adam and Eve found themselves. You think, you know, after they eat the fruit and God goes walking in the garden, he knew exactly where they were, but he calls out and says, hey, why are you hiding? And what did Adam respond? Homework assignment, go read the first couple chapters of Genesis. We hid because we knew we were naked. And that meant a whole lot more than they just didn't have any clothes on. They suddenly realized how totally, absolutely, irretrievably vulnerable they had just made themselves by letting themselves fall to that temptation of Satan. They realized how little they were and how much nothing that they really had. And every time we go into disobedient, prideful mode, we're leaving ourselves in exactly the same place. And yet, here's Jesus putting himself into our hands. In obedience to the will of God the Father, he submits himself to this for us. The universe has seen no greater act of self-sacrificial love. Never will again. But it's what we are called to. Literally, we are called to follow this example that Jesus set. To empty ourselves of what? Our pride. To empty ourselves of that tendency towards rebelliousness that brings not life but death. Because in exchange, what does God want to do? What he was willing to freely give Adam and Eve. Life, wisdom, guidance, power. To live fully, not just on earth, but readying them for eternal life in the fullness of God's kingdom. But it will not happen unless we follow literally this example that Jesus is setting before us, to empty ourselves of our pride, of our foolishness, of our rebelliousness, because God is just waiting and eager to fill us with exactly what we do need that we don't have, and yet he wants to give us freely and completely, all the way from life on earth to eternity in heaven.